All right. Hey, good morning. God bless you guys. Welcome to church. You ready to get into 1 Samuel, our series that we're going to be starting today, new series. I'm really excited about it. Probably going to take us about 32 weeks, maybe 40 weeks, somewhere in there, but it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited to get started in the book of 1 Samuel. A couple announcements. Friday night, 7:30, we've got NA, so if you're around on Friday nights, hook up with us, with Jeremy and Shawnee for NA, and then Wednesday night Bible study in Toledo with my wife Vicki, and that's at 6 o'clock. And also, too, and this is really important, you guys. Matt, can you turn me down a little bit? I'm sorry. I'm freaked out. I get freaked out from me. But next Sunday, this is so important, you guys. If you have kids, if you have grandbabies, if you know people that have kids, whatever, bring them to church next Sunday because we're doing all kids service next Sunday. We were actually going to do it today, but my kids are gone with their kids. They're on a little vacation, sort of, and but they're all going to be back next Sunday, and so next Sunday it's going to be so much fun. There's going to be so many games and cute stuff for these kids. It's going to be church just for kids, really, but we want to bless them, and then we're going to get back on into our series in 1 Samuel. So if you have children, grandbabies, whatever, bring them next Sunday because it's going to be awesome. We're going to have Family Sunday next Sunday. I think with that, that's it. So let's open a prayer, and then we're going to get into 1 Samuel. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your word today. Lord, open our ears. Speak to us, Lord. We want to be like your servants and say, hey, our ears are open. Our hearts are open, God. Speak a word to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel, are you guys there? Let me lay it out for you if you're looking for it. You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That's always kind of helped me. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Anyways, that's how it goes. That's the order of it. So Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then you've got 1 Samuel. And we're going to be starting 1 Samuel today. Hopefully you guys can find it. So I just want to break it down to you really quick. If you're taking notes, today's like an introduction. We're just kind of getting to know 1 Samuel. You know, when you go out on a date with somebody or you meet somebody new, you want to get to know them, right? So you know they're not all crazy and whatever. So we want to look at 1 Samuel and check him out for a second and just see what he's about, what the book's about. And so the book of 1 Samuel can be divided up into three parts, really simple. Chapters 1 through 7 are going to be about Samuel. And then from 7 to 16 is going to be about this guy named Saul. And then from 16 on to the end of the book, it's going to be about King David. So just with that, those three second sections kind of gives you an idea of what the book is going to be like about as a whole. Now, the interesting thing about this is 1 Samuel is a transitional book. And the transition is this. You guys know that Israel didn't always have kings, right? They kind of did what was right in their own eyes. They were a theocracy, meaning that God called the shots. He determined what they did, how they did it, when they did it. And they had what was called judges. And judges were not like you think of someone sitting behind the bench when you go get your parking ticket. These guys were heroes. Think of Superman, Batman, who else? Incredible Hulk. I don't know who you guys are watching out there, but you guys get the idea, these superheroes. And Samuel is one of the last of the judges. And then he's going to bring in this king, these kings that are going to rule and judge Israel because there's this transitional period. And when I was looking at that, I was thinking about how God was with them through all the transitions they were going through in life, through the ups, through the downs. And you know what that told me? That the Lord is with us in every transition of our life. Everything that we go through, however we go through it, the Lord's with us, amen? In the transitions of life, where some of us are getting older, some of us deny we're getting older, right? Starting a family, starting a career, leaving a career, starting a different family, whatever. We're all in these weird seasons of our life. But the one thing I want to encourage you guys to remember is this, is that the Lord is with you in every transition you go through with him. Amen? God's that way. He's good. He's a transitional God. And so they are in transition into this period of time where now they're going to be putting and instituting kings, and Samuel's going to be giving the first king of Israel. And just a little question, who is the first king of Israel? Do you guys remember? Who? You guys. I feel bad because I think I trick you. I ask you questions and then I flip it on you. This one's a no-brainer. Yeah, it's Saul. I'm not going to mess you up. I'm trying to help you out. So we're going to see Samuel bring in the first king, Saul of Israel. But hey, let's go ahead and start in chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to finish chapter 1. Do you think we can do it? Oh, come on. Now, I'm going to get through it. I need your prayers and faith. Let's believe on faith. Jason's going to get it done. Let's start in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. So if you guys are looking for baby names, check this out. Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, that's not tofu, the son of Zuf, Ephraimite, and he had two wives. Yikes. So like what I've got in my Bible right there is uh-oh, okay? This guy has got two wives. He's got two wives. He's married to two women at the same time. And before any fellas get any ideas, this is not what God's into. All right? So just in case, I don't know my audience, I just want to tell you that God's not down with it, because if someone was like, oh, man, it's interesting, I didn't know that. No, it's we'll look at it and see it in a minute. But this guy, he's got more on his plate than he can handle. The name of one of them was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts, Shiloh, at Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And every time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah and his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival would provoke her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. So when we see this, Elkanah, his name actually means possessed by God. Kind of weird that a guy could be so filled with the Lord and yet have two wives, don't you think? I mean, it's kind of interesting, I thought. And when I saw that, I started asking the question about, I wonder how many of you guys here today are possessed with the Lord, but you ain't got it all together yet either. Anybody? I mean, I'm that way. I can tell you right now. I was talking to my friend this week about wanting to get baptized again, and he was asking me questions about it. And I said, man, baptism is a one and done. Like, if I had to get baptized every time I sinned, my skin would fall off, right? Like, I would, you know how you get out of the shower and that's just like peeling off? Like, it's just like gross. Man, I'm like so messed up. Vicky and I, we were driving yesterday, and I pulled out in front of somebody. Obviously, I had a lot of room in between us, okay? There wasn't no problem there. And this person sped up behind me like I cut them off or something. They were like 15 cars back. And then she pulls along the side of us at the red light. She rolls down her window, and I'm like, yeah, what's up? She goes, what are you doing? She was like 24 years old, so when I talk like this, you'll know. Like, what are you doing? Didn't you see me back there? You totally cut me off. And I thought she was going to squirt. Like, I mean, I thought this girl was going to have a breakdown. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. I was like 15 cars ahead of you. And and Vicky's right here next to me. And she started going off, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what she was saying. Her mouth was doing this. And I'm like, whatever. And then I said, shut up. But I did it under my breath. But Vicky heard it. And I'm going to tell you what, living with Vicky is like living with Mother Teresa. No joke. Here's what it's like married to a saint. Every time you mess up, they let you know, and then they quote scripture about it all day long, right? So I walk around with Vicky. She's like Google about scripture verses, and every time I mess, she said, Jason, what if that girl ever came to church? She goes, you're famous. You're all over Facebook. I said, you know what? I tell her to shut up at church, and then I pray for her, right? I felt bad. I did, man. Even though she ain't hear it, it came out of my heart a little bit too quick. But how many of you guys know that, you know, we're not perfect? I mean, Elkanah, we don't have two wives, but Elkanah, you know, he does love the Lord, this guy. And it wasn't permitted by God. Just so you know, anytime a guy was married to two women, it never went well. It never goes good. It'll never go good. You need one girl in your life, and that's it. I've got Vicky, and that's enough. Hallelujah. Any man out there, I've got my hands full. I'm good with one. That's it. I don't need nobody else. Vicky's fine. We're good. That's it. And so Elkanah, he's a polygamist, this guy. He's into wives. But God never intended it to go that way. And you're going to see that it doesn't go good with Elkanah in this situation. And so it says that he had two wives, and one of the wives' name was Hannah. And her name means lovely and grace. And then the other one's name was Penina. And Penina means pearl. And as the old country pastor once said, she was no gem. She was no ruby. This girl was nasty to the core, totally hateful. And so I think what happened was that maybe Elkanah was married to Hannah first. She couldn't have kids, so he married Penina. That's my guess. We're not sure from that, but we don't know. But here's the thing. Children were so important to Hannah. She can't have kids. And what's even interesting is that it's the Lord's doing. Do you guys know it's the Lord who opens the womb? Do you know it's the Lord's idea to have kids and to have a family, right? The Bible talks about be fruitful and multiply if that's his will and his plan for you in your life. And I think one of the sad things is, just real quick on kids, I love kids. Man, they're the best. They don't judge you. They're not always listening to you with an agenda. They just want to kind of hang out with you, and they believe everything you say, and, you know, they're not always questioning stuff or got an angle. But you know what's so sad today is we look at having kids today like we're buying a German Shepherd, right? It's kind of the idea of, should we get a dog or not get a dog? They, you know, they poop all over the house. They make a mess. I don't know if we should get it or not. You know, we got all these things. It's going to tie us down. Listen, children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a blessing. And you're never going to be ready to have kids. Ever going to be ready to have kids. Nobody's ever ready to have kids. Have you guys ever seen pre-moms before babies and post-moms after babies? That'll tell you right there you weren't ready to have a kid, because before you guys are doing your Instagram photoshops, you know, with your vacations and your hair did, and you got your eyelashes, the big ones, and you guys are looking on point because you got the weave done. I get it. I see how you're doing it. That's before the baby. But then after you have the baby, right, you're a hot mess. You got one of them eyelashes hanging like this, right? You're going to church with SpaghettiOs on your shirt. Come on, you know what I'm saying, right? You guys have you ever seen pre-baby mama versus post-baby mama? A baby will grow you up, amen? You're never going to look the same again. You'll never be the same again. They'll come right in, and they'll do what they want, when they want, and how they want to do it, and you're going to have to get accustomed to it. And so Hannah, she wants children, but it says that the Bible tells us that she can't have kids because the Lord has shut up her womb. And so now, in verse 3, Elkanah goes to worship the Lord in Shiloh and to make sacrifice to him. Quick side note. When he goes into Shiloh, to the tabernacle, it says he went to go and worship and sacrifice to the Lord. This is so important. You guys got to hear me on this. Today, not Ark Bible Church. I would never talk about us bad, but I definitely talk about other people. But us, okay, we don't come to church just to get here. right? Sometimes there's people with this mentality that they just want to go to church and it's feed me, feed me, feed me, give me, give me, give me. I want, I need, I gotta have. And I want to tell you guys that, you know, church is, you got your helmet on? Just really quick, strap it tight. It'll only be a second because I'm about ready to jerk it. You know, church is about Jesus and not about us. Church is about when we come, we bring our worship and we do bring our sacrifice. Sometimes that does mean money. And you know, I don't like to talk about money, to be honest with you. That's why we don't pass a plate. You guys know where the offering is. But sometimes, you know, we come and it's just to get. And we don't give. Well, I ain't got no money to give. No, you do. There's stimulus checks that have been mailed out. We know, right? But then on Facebook, man, I got to get this chess piece, yo. I got to get some ink on, you know, I got to get this touch up. I got to go down to Bernie's, right? People, Bernie's, the stock market is going up with weed. Like, if you guys ever invest, the weed market is going through the roof on stimmies. But here's the thing about it. We got to ask the question, do we trust the Lord with our life, but not our money? If we trust the Lord with our life, shouldn't it reflect financially as well? Because every church is operating somehow. We don't get a check from the government. They don't care if we're here. So you know how this happens? By the faithfulness of you guys. And I'm so thankful and grateful for your faithfulness. I'm so grateful and thankful we don't have to bam, 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 bam. Because that's not what God wants. But what we see in Elkanah is that he came to worship and he came to give. And how many of you guys know that sometimes when you come to worship, that's a sacrifice? You know, you just got in a fight. You got a stinking, you had an ornery morning before church and you're like, the last place I want to go, the last place I want to be, the last thing I want to do right now is church. And we can get in those seasons where it's like, man, just getting here is an act of worship. So if you got here today and it was hard for you to get here, hey, I just want to congratulate you. In fact, let's just congratulate them, because you know what? You don't know how people had to get here today. We look good, right? But inside our hearts, sometimes we're mad. Maybe, you know, somebody cut us off in traffic and we had to tell them to shut up, you know, in brotherly love. But here's the thing about it. He comes in worship and he comes in sacrifice. And so we want to make sure that we're doing the same thing. And so he prays to the Lord of hosts. That's what it said there. It said in verse 3, came to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. You know what's so cool about that when he says the Lord of hosts? This name, Lord of hosts, is mentioned 280 times in the Bible. It's found the first time right here. Take a note of that. And what it means is that God is in control and he's present in the armies of 10,000s and 10,000s and angels galore, and so many of these hosts of heaven that God is present in. And the reason why I got so hyped up on that is because a little bit later down the road, what we're going to see in the next couple verses is that there's one woman with a mom with a broken heart who's in this bitterness of her soul and in her spirit, weeping and busted down, and it says that the Lord of hosts, she's going to make this prayer about this baby, and it says that God heard her, which tells me that he's not just the God of the many, but he's the God of the one. See, that speaks to me, because sometimes I think that God's got more on his plate to deal with than me. I live in Elk City, right? I'm in a little town, and I got problems, but they're not like problems, right? Do you ever feel like that sometimes, where, man, God is so big, there's so much going on in the world? Would he care about me? Would he care about what I'm going through with my kid? Would he care about my career? Honestly, I mean, I'll make it. It'll be fine. You know, I just got to keep my head down and do my thing. But he didn't really care about it. You know what? That's the enemy. Because he cares about every minute detail. Look what it says. The Lord of hosts, but yet he's going to hear the prayer of this one mom who's all messed up. And she's crying out to the Lord. Hey, God's the God of the many, and he's the God of the one. You guys need to be writing that stuff down because you're going to need it. And I love it because it didn't say he was the God of the popular, the influential, the wealthy, none of that stuff. He's the God of one, of Hannah. Did you know you can text him anytime, one-on-one? He's there. He wants to connect. And so Elkanah takes his family to the tabernacle to offer worship and sacrifice. And as they would go to the temple, not only would Hannah and Peninnah, what happened was, is as they would go, Hannah couldn't have kids. And so what did Peninnah do? She would get in her face and she would jab about it and she would make smart remarks about it. And what's even worse is that Hannah knew that the problem wasn't with Elkanah. She knew the problem was with her because Elkanah had already had kids with Peninnah. And so the only thing that made Peninnah happy was making Hannah miserable. Do you guys know anybody like that? The only thing that will make them happy is it to make you miserable. The only thing that would bless their day. Could you imagine living with somebody like this? That all they do is they jab. Smart remark after smart remark. It's like just when you don't think they can open their mouth one more. Am I talking to anybody? You guys know what I'm saying? They, just when they think they can't say one more stupid thing, they're going to say the one more stupid thing. And it makes them, and it just gets them excited about it. Over and over again, jab, 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 snide remark. Could you imagine being married to somebody like that? Man, I would like take up long truck driving across the world type job, right? Where I'm never home. Jab after jab after jab. This girl is getting it all the time from her. And you know what I thought about it? One time when I was going into ministry, listen to this. A pastor told me this, and I'll never forget it. And he said, Jason, you're going to have to outlive the remarks. Because when you go into ministry, they're going to say you're unforgiving. They're going to say that you're not very personable. They're going to say that you're angry. They're going to say this. And he said, here's my advice to you. After you help them and they turn on you, here's my advice to you. Outlive the remarks. Outlive the remarks. You see, when they're like backbiting and jabbing you, live holy in front of them. Remember that. Because guess what? All them naysayers that said we wouldn't be here and all of that stuff, hey, it's been 10, 12 years, and we're still here praising the Lord while they're off doing some other job selling insurance. We're still doing church. You know what you got to do? Outlive the remarks. Outlive those snide, nasty, hateful remarks that you get. And so she is there in that situation, and it doesn't say she got in Peninnah's face. It doesn't say, hey, girl, you better shut up. You're only here as a side boo. I was number one. She didn't say any of that. You know what she does do? This is pretty cool. She takes her grief, and she brings it, and she brings it to the Lord. It says in verse 18, let's keep moving. It says in verse 8, let's go to verse 8, then Elkanah, oh, I love this. I love the Bible. Check this out. You're going to see why this is so great, you guys. It says Elkanah is going to try to help his wife out because he sees that she's going through something. And so as men, you know, when our wife is going through stuff, what do? We want to fix it, right? Like it's a deck or a door jam that needs to get repaired. That's what we look at stuff like. And he's looking at his wife like, oh, I'm going to fix this. So check out, this is what he says in verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? That cracks me up. Man, if I could go back and say, hey, listen, bro, I just want to tell you, you're going to come across this verse in the Bible. You don't know about it yet, but you're about ready to say something to your wife, and it's not going to be very good. And it's, am I not everything you need? See, he knows what the problem is because he says, am I not better than 10 sons? Because sometimes, you know, I think women think that we don't know what's going on, but sometimes we actually do, and we don't want to get into it, right? But he's like, hey, am I not better than anything you'd ever want? And what was her reply? She doesn't say nothing. That cracks me up. Because I was thinking the next verse would be like, oh, yeah, baby, you're the man. You know, you got, you know, yeah, you fulfill my greatest desire. Seriously, yeah, you do a good job. But you know what the Bible says? It didn't say nothing. He's like, am I not the best thing since white bread? And she's like, well, anyways. And so she just kind of keeps on, right? Like, well, not. And he's like, well, how about two birds and a cat? Am I better than that? Like, am I better than all this stuff? And so, you know, I started thinking about when we're trying to talk with our wives, our spouse, or anybody really, and you don't know what to say, sometimes the best thing to do is not say anything, but just be present, right? Be present, listen, and, you know, be the person that they can dump on, be the person they can go to prayer in. I mean, we can't, as husbands, you guys, you know, we can't always, you know, fix everything for our wives. And that reminds me too, wives, your husbands can't fix everything for you. They're not, I know you don't know this, Vicky, but I am not Jesus, right? That was a bombshell. But here's the thing, we don't, your husband is not God. Everything that you're going through, everything that has you upset at home, whatever it is, your husband is not there to fix your entire life to make it everything perfect. That's not his job. That's Jesus's job. But it's not your husband's. And I'm just speaking to somebody out there outside of the church that's watching online. I know I'm not speaking to anybody here, but the problem is when we're looking to our spouse to fulfill our greatest need and desire, and if life is messed up, we're going to go off on them. And the Bible's like, man, listen, you need to take your frustrations and your animosity and whatever it is that you're going on with and get it to the Lord. Because as husbands, we're just there to kind of like fill in the gap. You know, we want to be there, pray for you and be there, but I think sometimes, you know, we can get things messed up and attack the people closest to us when we got things going on inside of us. And so it says in verse 10, Hannah was in bitterness of her soul about this situation with her family that she couldn't fix. And by the way, it doesn't say she was in bitterness to the Lord. If she was in bitterness in her soul, meaning that there's times that you're going to get upset and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to get angry, and the temptation is going to be to not get bitter in your soul, but to get bitter and mad at God. That's the temptation. That's the problem we got to be on guard about. Because it says she was in bitterness in her soul. She wasn't in bitterness to God. I know a girl, a friend of mine, and she says, you know what? When I get mad at God, I cuss him. I walk up and down Highway 101 and, you know, and I'm cussing him. What do you think about that? And I was like, well, I don't think that's very smart, personally. But we got to make sure we're channeling that frustration in the right place, right? So it says in her bitterness of spirit, what does she do? She pours out to God. It doesn't say she went to Elkanah. She didn't go to her husband and say, fix it. This is what's happening. You're doing nothing. You just sit there. You keep your mouth shut. You don't ever do anything. You say you're going to do this and you don't do that. But instead, what does she do? She goes to God and she pours her soul and her bitterness out on God. Check out verse 12. It says that, and it happened. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Side note, your greatest desire for your children should be to give them to the Lord. Not soccer, right? Not football, not hunting, not fishing, not learning how to make a fire in a cave. The best thing, the greatest desire, side note, is that your desire is to get your kid to the Lord. is to get your kid raised up in the Lord. And if you don't have children, find some and minister to them. And your greatest desire for those kids, pray for those babies. I pray for your kids. You pray for mine. I pray for your grandbabies. You pray for mine. The greatest desire that you should ever have as a mom, that you should ever have it as a dad, is not that they make it with money, not that their credit's great, but they're serving the Lord. Because I promise you this, if your kids are broke and they ain't got nothing but the Lord, they're going to have everything they need. And that's the God's honest truth. It said that she was going to dedicate Samuel to the Lord all the days of his life. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli, being a pastor, instead of sympathizing with her, what's he do? Judges her. Check this out. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. Don't talk to me like that. I'm not like one of these skeezers that you be seeing on TikTok. Right? I love the Lord. My heart's being poured out to him. Don't judge me like that. And she said, do not consider your maidservant, verse 16, a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint, my grief, I've spoken until now. And then Eli answered and said, he's like, oh man, this girl's serious. I think I just messed up. Have you ever done that? Have you ever judged somebody and you're like, oh snap, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. He's in that place where he's like, man, I just really messed up. This girl's serious. She's got a problem. He says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. So it was kind of a common thing, you guys, to go to church and get wasted. They would go and have these fellowship meetings, and that's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul was rebuking them because they were coming to church and they were getting slammed. And so that was the wickedness that was going on, and Eli's judging her, and instead, Hannah, again, doesn't go off on Eli. By the way, fast forward, we're almost done, check this out. And next week, you're going to see his sons are so messed up, they're having sex, check this out. This book is this is Jerry Springer. So what's going on is you got Eli the priest, and you got these two kids we just heard about, Hophinus and Phinehas. And what they were doing is they were kind of helping their dad run the tabernacle. But what would happen is, this is so crazy, they would be getting drunk in there, and then the women that came to serve, you know, vacuum things up or whatever, they were sleeping with them right there in the front door. So when you went to church, you saw these two guys sleeping with all these girls, getting drunk, beer bottles all over the place. And you know what? If I was Hannah and I was saying, oh man, you're going to sit there and call me a drunk? You know what? You think you're a dad? You're a joke. Look at your kids. I would have just had that temptation years ago, not anymore, to where I would have wanted to go off, right? See, I'm saved now, so I don't have that in my heart. So, but the thing of it was, is she doesn't say, man, your kids are a mess, you're a filthy father, none of that stuff. You know what she does? She just chills out. She says, hey, listen, as the word of the Lord, let it be done to me, right? Let it be done to me. She doesn't go off on him, but she just sets him straight there. She outlives the remarks. And it says that Hannah regained her joy. And so now, let's close out in verse 19. We're going to see the birth of Samuel. Verse 19 closes out with this. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, meaning they had date night, and the Lord remembered her. In verse 20, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah received and she bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. And that name means, it can mean God hears, because I have asked him from the Lord. So now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah didn't go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." Now, when this situation is going on, Samuel's about 3 years old. And Elkanah knows his wife made a vow to God that she's going to take this boy and dedicate him for the rest of his life, right? And it's getting to that point to where Elkanah's wondering, are you going to ever take this boy to church and give him up? Because you made a vow, and now, you know, don't forget about that vow. And I started thinking about how many times have we promised God things and we fell through on them? How many vows have we made and we've broken them? You know, God honors vows. He does honor them. When they honor him, he honors the vow. And we got to remember that. You know, sometimes I remember praying, God, I got to go get my cholesterol checked out. Please, in Jesus' name, let them levels be low. I'll never eat Oscars again. And then what happens? Man, I'm at Burger King. It's like, guys, pray for me. So, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, it's so easy to make a vow and to break it, but we want to make sure that we're making the vows. And so she says that, it says that Samuel is born, and he's about 3 years old. And Elkanah's like, hey, don't forget, you got to give this baby over to the Lord, because he said you were going to do it, and that's your vow. And so in verse 24, now when she had weaned him, he's about 3 years old, took him up with her three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slaughtered a bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood before you here. You remember that day praying to the Lord for this child? I prayed. How many moms do we got in here praying for their babies today? I don't care if they're 40 years old, they're still your baby, right? She is praying over her child, and the Lord has granted my petition. Hang on, mamas, because God hears your prayers, which I asked for him. Therefore, I also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. So Hannah, she has Samuel, and God honored the prayer. You know, when we look at the story of Samuel as this introduction, I want to tell you guys something that really stuck out to me, a couple things, but these are important, is number one, God changed the course of a nation, if you think about it, with this one boy, this one child. And it was because of the prayer and faith of a mom and a connection of a father who wanted to see this promise carried through. And I started thinking about all the moms and all your prayers and all that you've been lifting up to the Lord. And I want you to know that God sees it. You may not be a mom. Maybe, you know, maybe your kids don't have their mom, but they got you. And you're lifting them up. You know what? God hears. And I believe he answered the prayers of Hannah. You got to remember, you guys, she was praying all the time for this baby. Don't give up for your babies. Because you know what? You'll be praying for them, and then they're going to go crazy. And then they're going to get it together, right? And then they're going to go crazy. And then you're going to, and it can be this up and down ride. You guys, I was that kid. But the prayers, God heard. And it's a miracle, really, that only God can do. But I want to close out with this, you guys. When we're empty and we pour out to God, he wants to pour into us. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out in worship. When we're empty, when we're frustrated and we pour out to God, God wants to pour out to us. You know, maybe you're here and you're kind of like Penina. And you're really agitated and you're frustrated and you're upset about a lot of things. You know, Penina, she was obviously jealous. She had some things going on inside of her. And what she would do with that jealousy and anger and bitterness is she would take it out on people around her. She would jab at them. She would make smart comments. And you know the thing that I felt bad about Penina is that nobody wanted to be around her. Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. You know, and you got to remember, listen, when you're going through those things that got you all upset, not to be jabbing at other people or those closest to you, but hey, take it to the Lord. Let him fill you up. Pour your heart out to him. You know, maybe you're here today like Hannah, and you got something going on in your life like she did. Nobody understood her. Her husband didn't understand her. Eli didn't understand her. They couldn't get it. And you're here today too, and you're in that place where people don't get it. People don't get it. People don't get it. Because they're not you. They're not going through what you go through. And sometimes, you know, we're looking at other people to fix what's going on inside of us. But the only one that's going to be able to do that is Jesus. This is a good word. That he's not just the God of the multitude. He's the God of one. And he hears. And so as we close out this morning, we're here for prayer. Pastor Mac is right here. If you want to get prayed on during worship, after worship, I'm here. Definitely want to pray for you guys. I want to encourage you. And also, too, we want to praise God and thank him for all those answered prayers. Not that he's going to do, but what he's already done. Amen. How many things has God answered in your life already? Let's praise him for that right now. Already. You know, I think about if he never did another thing, he's already done too much, right? Father, we love you. You're so good. You're such a blessing to us. Lord, and I even know, I just believe it now that there's been hearts that came into church heavy and are leaving with joy. Just like Hannah, she poured her heart out and worshiped you, God. She came in there miserable, but Lord, she left so filled up. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit right now on every heavy heart that came in here like that, that they don't leave the same way they came in. God, that they turn their face to you, that you hear, because we know you do. Touch them, Lord. Lord, and I just pray that you give them peace until you solve the problem. Strengthen them even now, that they can trust you. Count on your word, because you are a man of your word. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. As we come and take communion, we do it in remembrance and honor of you, of your life that you laid down for us. Washing us clean of all of our sin, Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for being so good to us. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.